And we find it in Daniel chapter 11 and at verses 38 and 39. Daniel says there, "But in his estate, in his jurisdiction, shall he honour the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honour, with gold and silver, and with precious stones, and with pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge, and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain." We read there in verse 38, first of all, about a God of forces. The phrase God of forces in the Hebrew language is Eloah Mahuzim. This word Mahuzim means a guardian or a protector. The margin has attempted, they've made two attempts actually to explain what this God of forces is. One they've said or munitions, and the other one they've given the Hebrew word because they couldn't really make up their mind what it meant, and then put down or God's protectors. Well, that's sort of the idea. What it means is protecting or guardian gods. It's seen in the form of the guardian saints, who they believe have been deified, which the Catholic Church is so renowned for. Unfortunately, men like Peter, John, Paul and others have had their names attached to such sainthood. So we get Saint Paul, Saint John, Saint Peter, Saint Christopher and others, who are the so-called guardian gods or guardian saints of the church. But not only does it say here that they shall set up these guardian gods, but it also tells us that they're going to make strongholds for them. So in verse 39 we read, "Thus shall he do in the most strongholds." Now once again the translators have had a bit of trouble there, and so they've attempted in the margin to translate it as fortresses of munitions. Well, it's the same word Mahuzim again. It's a word which looks like Mitzrahei Mahuzim. And Brother Thomas tells us that that word Mitzrahei on the front of it really means a bazaar. And a bazaar is a place where you buy and sell things. So this word Mitzrahei Mahuzim is actually the bazaars of the guardian saints. So if Saint Peter, Saint Paul, Saint Patrick, Saint Christopher and the rest of them are the guardian gods, what are the bazaars that they build dedicated to these guardian gods? Well, they are the places where they buy and they sell and they trade. And the book of Revelation tells us what this trading is. It's trading in the bodies and souls of men. So the Spirit's view then of some of these very nice churches around the place, which have some very nice people in them, is that they are simply bazaars trading in the lives of men and women. And that's what it is. It's a trade in the souls of people, styled here the most strongholds in Daniel chapter 11 verse 39, or in other words, the bazaars of the guardians, that is the churches of Christendom which trade in the bodies and souls of men. Well, when we go back then to Revelation chapter 13, that's what we're told. Daniel has added a few other details in for us, admittedly, but there's a certain amount of buying and selling going on. And so the buying and selling referred to in these verses principally has relation to that of spiritual merchandise. So as we said, the Spirit styles these churches of Christendom as bazaars dedicated to guardian saints. Thus God sees the churches dedicated to St. Peter, St. Paul, and even such things as All Saints as being places of spiritual merchandise, hence styled bazaars. It's also interesting to note that literal trading was limited by the papacy to those who possessed the church's mark. And hence both literally and symbolically, the papacy extended its power over the minds and actions of those within the confines of the Holy Roman Empire. On the technical side of things, we're coming very close to the point where we normally turn over our tapes if we're running C90s. I intend that concluding, I would say, in about 10 minutes' time. There's a couple of other things I want to do at the end of the class tonight, so I'll leave it to you to decide whether you want to turn your tapes over. If you've got about 10 minutes left, I'd say you'd be all right. So we're coming down then to this last verse. This verse has relationship to the number of the name of this beast. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We've set it out on that chart on the bottom of page 146. For those who haven't got the notes, that's the same chart. So I thought I might just take a few minutes just to explain how this 666 is derived, whilst I think most people are aware of the significance of it and roughly how we achieve it. Possibly very few, unless they've studied this chart closely, are really aware of how it relates to the Greek alphabet in general. In the Greek language, each letter of the alphabet has a numerical value. Now, I know some of you are looking at that and saying, oh, look, we don't have to learn all Greek. I nearly said you looked at it and said that's all Greek to me, but that would have sounded a bit queer, and I realised I wasn't to say that when I got halfway through the sentence where I was going to say. But anyway, it is all Greek, and I don't really think you should be all that frightened of it, because, look, you can recognise A and B and E and K and M and things like that. It wouldn't take you very long to start to recognise these letters, so just bear in mind that it's not all that difficult. A is alpha, that's the first letter of the alphabet, and it has a numerical value of 1. The second letter is beta, which is B, and it's got a numerical value of 2. The third letter is not C, as in alphabet, it happens to be G, or gamma. It's got a value of 3. Fourth letter is D, or delta, like our alphabet. It's got a value of 4. The third letter is epsilon, which is our letter F. I say F, not because I think you're in grade 1 at school, but because in the Greek alphabet, they differentiate between F and E. We don't in English, we're silly. We use the one letter and you've got to make up your mind whether it's E or E when you pronounce the word. You don't have that problem in Greek because epsilon is F and eta is E. So going through them there, we see that there's a letter epsilon, a value of 5. Zeta or Z has, it can be 6 or 7. It's generally 7. Eta is 8. Theta, which happens to be our th, is 9. Iota, which is the it sound, is 10. We're going up in increments of 10 now. Kappa or K is 20. Lambda or L is 30. Mu or M is 40. Nu or N is 50. This horrible looking thing here, which is called Xi, I think, is 60. I think it's a bit like our X, but they don't use it very much, and I can never quite remember what that one looks like, but if you don't remember that one, you haven't lost much. Omicron is off. I say off because the last letter of the alphabet is omega, which is O. See the difference? They've got an O and an O. Omicron is 70. Pi, I suppose you're supposed to call it P actually, but it's 80. Rho is R, it's 100. We're going up in increments of 100 now. Sigma or S is 200. Tor or T is 300. Upsilon or up is 400. Phi, which is the foot sound, 500, and chi, which is sort of as in chemist and choir, you know, ch sound, is 600, and psi, ps, as in what? Suki, I suppose. I don't know what English words we get with ps in the front of it. Soul, no, psalm, oh yes, that's right, psalm, is 700, and omega is the long letter O. So there it is, there's the alphabet. Now what we want to show you is that this number 666 666, is actually the numerical value of the letters of a word. And there is a tradition, a very ancient tradition, which goes back to Irenaeus, who was the friend of Polycarp, or the follower of Polycarp, who was a friend of John. Irenaeus was a friend of Polycarp, and Polycarp was a disciple of John. He said that the word was latinos. Now see, here it is, lambda, that's that one there, which is L. That's got a value of 30. Alpha, which is the A, has a value of 1. Tor, or T, is 300. E is 5. It is 10. That thing that looks like a V, isn't it? It's an N, really. Better watch that one, it's a tricky one. N is 50. O is 70. And sigma is 200. If you add all those up, that makes 666. And that's how it's worked out. Got any really good Greek students here? What's wrong with the way that word latinos is written? Does anyone know? There's something wrong with the Greek of that. I just noticed it, as a matter of fact. No. No one knows. Yeah, that's right. The letter sigma, when it's on the end of a word, is made a different shape from that. It looks like our own S, just sort of like an S shape. Goes, yeah, down under the there like that. But anyway, that's sigma. If sigma is in the middle of the word, they write it like that, but when it's on the end, they write it a bit differently. Well, there it is, 666. Interesting exercise. I just tried this out myself tonight by writing down a word. Take the word, some may know the answer to this. I didn't actually. I found this out quite genuinely tonight by myself. But I think I may have, I'm thinking about it, I think maybe I have heard it before. The word Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. It doesn't really look like that in Greek. There's no such thing as J, it's a sort of a Y sound, which you make up by I, that sort of Yay, Jesus. So you have to then put in an eta, which looks like that, and then it's the sigma, and then omicron, and then epsilon, and our sigma again. Now what's the values? What's the value of iota? 10. And of eta? Just take it slowly so everyone can get them. We won't rush it. Where's our... Eta is what? 8. Sigma? 200. Omicron? Epsilon? 200 again. Right, add them up. Did you get an answer? Yes, 888. Wouldn't be a coincidence, of course, would it? Not at all. 888, which shows there's obviously a very vast and interesting field of study awaiting anybody who has the time to sit down and look up some of these words and play around with the numerical values. There is a book called The Wonderful Numberer, which I picked up tonight, before I came out. It's out of someone else's bookshop, actually. M.A. Edge came, it's got on the front, he doesn't know. Anyone can borrow this if they want to after the meeting. It goes into this quite a bit, and he shows that he goes into the structure of the opening verses of Genesis and shows all the numerical values which are associated with these particular words, both in Hebrew and in Greek. So I just throw that in by way of interest, but the one that we're particularly concerned with tonight, of course, is this word Latinos. There have been other suggestions which some people have made. I think in the book The Two Babylons they make a different suggestion, although the end result is the same. I'm not sure whether anybody happens to know offhand what the suggestion is in The Two Babylons, but I think it's something like the Latin Kingdom or something. Does anyone happen to have a note of what the Two Babylon ones got? Yeah. The Latin Kingdom. Have you got the breakdown of it there? You've got the breakdown. Can we put it up just for interest? This is another suggestion, although the Latinos one is the... you going to do it for us? I am. Could be changing wrong for sure. Oh, we'll take that one, the Vicar of the Son of God. Someone said he had this on his crown at one stage. I don't know if that's true. You mean me? What have you got there? Where'd you get that from? That's what it said about the number of the beast. It was secret too, didn't they? Mystery. Doesn't project up. I think that'll save you, Jacob. I'll just write this up. Vicarius Filii Dei, which means Vicar of the Son of God. And if you check the numbers, it's 5 plus 1 plus 100. I don't get this. They've got naught down under that. How'd they get that? Well, I've got to go on with it now, but what happened to C? We'll keep going. 1501 50 1 and 1 500 0 1. Hey, pardon? That's the Roman. Yeah, I think we'll just switch the thing off. Yeah, wind that tape back about 10 minutes, Harold, and we'll be okay. Yes, that looks like they were the Roman numbers, doesn't it? V is 5, and that's 1, and C is 100, and there's no such thing as A or R. And U is probably meant to be a V. Oh, well.
The Latin Kingdom and the Greek hasn't come out.
Yes. Well, look, it's a very interesting study. If you'd like to go into it, let's just stick with Latinos, which we've worked out very well, and it just proves that you don't want to do anything impromptu in a class because you might get yourself into a spot. So, back to our notes, and... We'll just to make sure we don't go wrong, we'll read the last paragraph on page 146. The last verse of this chapter summarises the Lord's view of this whole system. It is based on flesh, it is human. It is carnal, and hence the number of his name is the number of a man. In Bible numerology, 6 represents man, and it is therefore significant that this man has a number 666. Brother Thomas outlines the following solution, which he explains can be traced back to Irenaeus, a friend of Polycarp who was a disciple of John himself. Each letter in the Greek alphabet has a numerical value, as shown in the accompanying chart. And here we are told that the numerical sum, that's the total of the value of the letters in the name of this system, would total 666. The word Latinos answers to this numerical total and means a Latin power, kingdom or church headed up in the Pope. This statement concludes and climaxes John's vision of this papal system. By contrast, in the following chapter, John now turns and sees another multitude with the Father's name written in their foreheads, who are redeemed from the earth, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Well, over the last few weeks we've been looking at a rather negative sort of exhortation, haven't we? We've been looking at this system, and the only thing this system is fit for is destruction. Well, God willing, at our next class we will be more than compensated for this by probably one of the most beautiful visions in the book of Revelation, the vision of the Lamb with the 144,000 standing with him on Mount Zion. And so we're going to see this set in contrast to the vision of chapter 13. In the meantime, we must be aware of the evil of the world in which we live. But of course, if we just live on the basis of watching for evil everywhere, we become very negative and despondent sort of people. So God willing, our next class will be a very uplifting one as we look at this vision of the redeemed with the Lamb. So we'll leave it at that. And that will do for our study. Any questions on the study?
Father Norm, to give us the announcements during which time the collections will be taken up. We'll have a very profitable and enjoyable night together, brethren and sisters. And so now we'll conclude, first of all, by singing hymn number 16, followed by a word of prayer. Hymn number 16.